So my question to you all, we have a sports theme for our VBS this year. What's the biggest, best game that you can think of? You probably are thinking, some of you think the NBA Finals, which is now. Some of you, I know what some of y'all are thinking, that it's the Stanley Cup, right? I know that's what some of y'all are thinking. Some may say the Super Bowl. To me, the best of all is baseball. And you know why? It's mentioned in the Bible. I'm not kidding. In fact, we start the scriptures with an acknowledgement that baseball is the best. It goes, in the big inning. It doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. And by the way, nothing about, you know, being on ice shooting pucks, by the way. But that's a cool game. And, you know, congratulations. I know. I see you Cap fans out there. Yeah, congratulations to y'all. Okay. In chapter 3, we have an impossibility. Eve stole first. You know, in baseball, you can't do it. But she did it. And then Adam stole second. And that doesn't end at all. Cain struck out Abel. All right, so those are all Old Testaments. Let me give you a New Testament one just so you know. The prodigal came home. Isn't that the purpose of baseball? It's such a good pastoral sport. The whole purpose of it is to come home. It's such a gorgeous game. All right, so, by the way, I bring that to you because our VBS is sports-related theme. But really, the biggest game you're part of is the one you're in right now. And that's the game of life. That each and every day, you have the opportunity to be better or not, to get more effective or not. The biggest game you're in is the game of life. That's the theme of our VBS, and we're going to do it through messages. You heard that in the children's sermon today. You heard what the impact through Darren today, and by the way, Darren's not an unusual voice. The VBS has impacted a lot of people. That's why we do it. We also do it in a variety of ways, like snacks. They're all theme-related, as I mentioned, and also then the events that we do. If you have not registered, and this is for little people, for ages 12, grade 12 and younger, we will take your registration even if you only come for one day. If you're coming to the adult class, which we do, and that'll be over in the Legacy Hall, I teach that, you just show up. And we also have theme-related snacks there as well. The sports theme, which comes from Scripture, but it answers the question of why. Why do I need to have Christian instruction? Why do I need even to know the Bible? What difference does it make if I know the Scriptures? Well, I'm going to tell you first and foremost, the Bible does help us to live life. If you go out there and look at all the voices out there, I mean, you can Google it, you can go to blogs, and it's amazing how sometimes they're not very effective, or they contradict, or actually what they're suggesting is very damaging. Whereas the Bible does the opposite. The Bible allows you to know foundational principles as to how to live effectively in life with those around you, those you agree with and like, and those you disagree and you hate. The Bible tells you all of that. Now, I'm going to give you a couple quotes. Since this is a sports-related theme, all the quotes I have come from sports people. The first one comes from Kevin Durant. He's an NBA player. He's in the finals. He's pretty good, okay? I'm putting that as a mild thing. Plays for Golden State Warriors. Okay, Kevin Durant is an awesome Christian. And this is what he said about the need to know Christian instruction. I'm going to put my glasses on so I can read it. It goes like this. I always kind of pinch myself and say that any day this can be gone, meaning basketball. Then he says, in the Bible, it says the Lord exalts humility. I remind myself that I can always be better. I always work on what I have now. I've just got to be thankful to the Lord for the gifts he's given to me. My gift back to him is to always be humble and to always try to work as hard as I can. If you've ever watched him, he's an incredible, not only player, but a great person. So the other thing the Bible brings to us is where's goodness found? And how do we know, what's the gauge of goodness? So Gabby Douglas, she's a gymnast, and she got a gold medal in the 2012 Olympics. She said this about the source of goodness. I give all the glory to God. It's a kind of a win-win situation. The glory goes up to God, and the blessings fall down on me. Now, if you mess up, Say you've done a sin, whether you do it intentionally or like, whew, I didn't intend to do that, but boy, it sure popped out, okay? I've got another quote for that. A guy named Tim Tebow. Anybody have heard of Tim Tebow, right? Tim Tebow played for the Florida Gators as a quarterback, won a national championship, Heisman winner, played in the NFL. He did the unthinkable. When he was with the Denver Broncos, they beat the Steelers in the playoffs. Still pains me to say that. The best game of his career against the Steelers. Well, anyway, let's move on. Some of you saw him when he came to Hagerstown. He's now in baseball. And so he's in trying to make his way up to the major leagues. And he said this about forgiveness, Tim Tebow. I have so many things to work on and so many ways that I fail. But that's what grace is all about. I constantly wake up every morning trying to get better, trying to improve, trying to walk closer to God. So the reason why we need Christian instruction, one, we need to know so to live through life. This is the source of goodness. This is where we know about forgiveness. Let me give you a last one. It's about our source of strength. And this guy is the all-time saves leader in MLB, Major League Baseball. Anybody know who he is? Mariano Rivera. Okay? You know who he used to play for? Yeah, John Martin's out there nodding his head. I see you, man. Kenny, you coming down the aisle to tell me? I know who he played for the Yankees. That's right. I almost got booed off stage with an Oriole fan earlier here, I tell you. Mariano Rivera said this about strength. He said, everything I have and everything I became is because of the strength of the Lord. And through him, I've accomplished everything, not because of my strength, only by his love, his mercy, and his strength have I accomplished all this. Now, I mention all these quotes out of these sports figures to show you an idea, because it's a sports-related theme for VBS, that there's an important piece about learning the scriptures, about knowing the scripture. So let me give you this, that what our week is about for VBS and what it should be about all year long is that we need to be intentional about our faith. That our faith isn't something that you play at, because when you play at faith, you get those results. You get not a very effective spiritual life. And by the way, some of the things I'm going to suggest you have to do. I can be as spiritual as I want as a pastor, and that's my goal. But my spirituality doesn't affect you unless you take it seriously. Take your faith seriously. You can stand beside me all you want, all day long. You can shadow me, but your faith won't get any deeper until you take it seriously. And so the first thing on this idea of how we become deeper in our faith is that we need to have a private devotion time. You do it with yourself and then do it with your family. It's not something you just come here 1 hour a week and expect, woo, I'm fueled up. I've got it made. No, the trials and tribulations of life will come every day. And that's why you need to have your private devotion time every day. One of the things I would suggest you do is scripture memorization. You can't always carry your Bible with you. You can't always have your concordance open and say, oh my, I have the temptation of greed. What does the scripture say about it? It's important for you to know that because you memorized it. This is one of the things I do is memorize scripture. So you can take it right on an index card. You can have your Bible app pop it up every day. By the way, there are things like that on your iPhones. You can have that Bible app pop up and say, here's the scripture of the day. And then you can have that moment of which you can share. Second item about being intentional about developing our faith is that embrace the wisdom of the church. And I mean not just this one, but the grand scope of the church. We provide a variety of things for you to go deeper in your faith. Vacation Bible School is a very intentional, very intense moment. But every week we have Sunday school. And every week you have the chance to learn more about who you are in relation to Jesus Christ and to learn how to go deeper in your faith. We have quality teachers. Many of the folks you saw up in front of us, they teach in our Sunday school. In addition to that, you also can do one of our gender-specific events, Women's Circle, Men's Bible Study. Men's Bible Study meets throughout the summer. It's the third Tuesday of every month. And the ability of this is to go and you can share things that are specific to what's going on with who you are in your life. The other is, we're trying something new this summer. I'm going to have a summer Bible study. So on the Thursdays in summer, not this week, you have to come to Bible study, Bible school. Not next week, I'll be off. But on the 21st of June, we're going to start a summer Bible study. I'm going to have it on parables. You come and enjoy. If you need daycare, we will provide it for you. Just let me know. And so you come and enjoy what did Jesus tell us about the kingdom of heaven, about us, in parable format. That'll meet over in our legacy hall, an opportunity for us to share together. That's number two. Number three, your fellowship is critical. You need to have discussion with other Christians. You know, it's a truth. Bad friends bring bad results. It's a fact. But if you hang out with people who are doing bad things, ultimately, you will be led down that path. The Bible's pretty clear about this. Let me give you a couple examples. It comes out of the book of Proverbs, 16th chapter. It says, "A perverse man stirs up dissension. A gossip separates close friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him down a path that is not good." So your friends are critical. Hanging out with, now, mind you, we should have friends that don't know Jesus. That's an important piece, because that's one of our goals, is to share the great news of Jesus Christ. But your group that you associate with need to be people who understand the depth of Jesus Christ. Because you don't want bad friends to bring bad results. You want good friends that ultimately will bring good results. The last item I'd like to share with you, why is Christian instruction important, is so that you know that there is absolute truth. If we depended upon the culture to tell us the truth, we're in dire straits. Just to give you an example, way back when I was in high school, the culture of the day was to have long hair, and I did. I hate those pictures. Every one of them. I wish I could burn them all. My wife reminds me, long hair doesn't look good on me. It does not. Back in high school, I remember bell bottoms were the thing. Whoever created them were torture creators. I could not tie my shoes without the risk of having it break in a spot I didn't want to break. But I guess they look cool because you couldn't see your shoes anyway, so what difference did it make, right? So if we depend on the culture to tell us the truth, we're in trouble. So we need a place in which we can find what's truth that exists regardless of time frame. And so we look at the scriptures. A book that was written in time but was meant to be timeless, because it was written by a God that exists above time. A book that was written to span all times. And the power of the scriptures is it does span all times. It's meant for all cultural situations, all society situations. And there we find the absolute truth. One of the absolute truths John Wooden gives to us, by the way, John Wooden, great basketball coach, probably one of the greatest college coaches of all time, said this about the truth that we find in the scripture, which is, talent is God-given, be humble. Fame is human-given, be grateful. Conceit is self-given, be careful. And he highlights the fact that if we were to go culturally, what you have is yours and you what you do with it is fine. We know that leads to disaster. That we need to have a humility about us, that all that we have has been given to us by God. That's where absolute truth comes into our lives. But why the sports team? I know some of y'all aren't really into sporty things, and you're probably thinking, Pastor Mark uses a lot of sports analogies. Sports, like anything, is a vehicle to be able to announce the great love of Jesus Christ. You all have your platforms that you have. Let me give you a quote about this. Case Keenum, a quarterback in the NFL, says, "God calls us to use our abilities to our greatest potential for his glory. And that includes whenever we step on the field, it's not to beat the guy next to you. It's to recognize it's an opportunity from God to reveal his glory." And I'm going to tell you that that's what sports is about if taken in the right vein. It's an opportunity to share the goodness of God and what God has done with us in terms of our talent. But the platform you're on, and all of you have one, this opportunity for being able to share who you are, it's so you can give glory to God. Some of you are spouses, that's your platform. Some of you are parents. Some of you are children. Actually, all of us are children. Each one of those, an opportunity to share the glory of God and how God has impacted us. Some are still students in Washington County. They still are. And you have the chance then to announce God's love to those in your school, to your teachers, to that child that's been left out. Some of us are working. And that's another great opportunity. That's our platform to be able to announce to the world that Jesus Christ has changed our heart. Many of you are on Facebook. By the way, that's a platform. Use it carefully. But it's a great opportunity to be able to say to the world, Jesus is the one who's changed my life, not XYZ, whoever that may be. And you can have the opportunity to change others. Hunter Smith, a retired NFL player, said this about the platform he has. My ministry to my family is the most important ministry I have. That is loving my wife first and foremost. I want to see my sons be oaks of righteousness. I want to see them grow up and be strong men of God. Obviously, I only had boys. But you get the idea that what God has given to you in terms of your circle of responsibility, that's your platform. A chance for you to be able to say to the world, Jesus has changed my life. I'm going to live that way. For this week that we have in Vacation Bible School, we're going to live out these words that I'm going to share with you next. May you take it as an opportunity to learn a new scripture, to memorize it. 2 Peter 1:3 goes like this. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and his own goodness. Let us go to God in prayer. It is a blessing, Lord God, to know that your love is all-powerful, that you give us strength and goodness, that you are the source of what truth is all about. We praise you that you didn't just let us loose and have us figure it out for ourselves. You've given us some tools of which we can understand. Thank you for the scripture that's alive and active, for the fellowship of the church, for friends who come alongside of us and tell us some things that we need to change that we don't want to hear, and lift us up when we are crushed by life. Thank you, Lord God, for those friends. We're grateful also that through Jesus Christ, we're brand new. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.